I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right.
So I'm super excited to be talking with someone who I met, believe it or not, through a magazine and then getting on Instagram and reaching out. I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves and talk about themselves a little bit, and then we'll just get a couple of the questions started.
Yeah, I'm Nick. I am a 30-something-year-old dad of five, married to a super awesome lady with a couple businesses and, you know, a dog and a bunch of stuff. And I also happen to be trans. So that's
very
me
cool.
In a nutshell.
I love it. Yeah. First of all, I'd just like to point out to everybody that's listening here now, five kids, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they're all like, I'm just going to say it because I think they are. They're all very smart, I'm sure, but they're all very gorgeous.
They are.
It is a huge family. Oh, and you have a puppy too, right? Am I correct?
And a puppy, Wallace effing North. It's true.
Wow. What's the name of the dog?
Wallace is their first name, and then we've given them the middle name effing. I don't know if this is a swear-friendly.
No, yeah, it is. So you can say whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. So it's Wallace fucking North is the dog's name. Because
I thought that was
they are the best and worst puppy that's ever been.
Great.
Ever. It
is true. Like, it's hard. Puppies are hard in general. So they'll get past that growing pains and all that stuff. And just tell everybody where you're from and, like, what you specifically do inside of queer rights and the work that you're doing. So we can get to know you better.
Yeah, so I am way up north here in Canada. I am in a small town outside of Calgary. I live in rural Alberta, which is hilarious that I'm like as queer as they come, and I'm living in rural Alberta. It's the most conservative place in the country. And I am, you know, just this guy who was once living as a woman and birthed a bunch of kids and couldn't live like that anymore and had to be myself. And I happened to fall in love with a woman and was like, oh, this is it. I found it. I'm a lesbian. And then quickly was like, this still isn't quite enough. Still feel empty and hollow inside. And sort of came back to the spot where I was as a kid, who I knew who I was. And, you know, as we go through our lives, we sort of lose who we are sometimes, and we, you know, repress it and push it down and hide cake on top of it and alcohol and whatever else, whatever our thing of choice is. And we sort of forget who we are. But I think as adults, we can, if we do the work, we can come back and find ourselves. And I think that, you know, being able to be myself with my wife allowed me to come back to myself, like the full me, and figure out who I was. And for me, that was transitioning, because to my true self, you know, I couldn't live anymore in my old body, in my old way. And so I, you know, left my husband, super nice guy, woohoo, go him, and got married to a woman and then like a month later transitioned to being a man. And he was like, and then, you know, he came out as gay afterwards. And like, clearly we could have made this work if I could have just been a gay trans man. So we're the biggest queer family around. Now we're here.
Cool. Wow. What was the process, not just the doing all of the work to be your true self and feel and look like, you know, really you feel comfortable and look comfortable, you know, for yourself. What was the process? Yeah. I'm just always curious. I talk to a lot of trans youth, and I'm always impressed still to this day in 2019 that some of those kids have started to transition. I mean, I think around 8 or 9 or 10 years old, like stopping puberty.
It's crazy and awesome and amazing that these kids have access to things that we just didn't, like, I can't imagine having access to. Like, I remember telling my grandma that I wasn't a girl and her being like, yeah, well, you are now, whether you like it or not. So this is your lot in life. There's nothing we can do about it. Just, you're going to have to just accept this. And I think that it was part fear on her part and part just, like, ignorance that I don't think that she really knew. I don't know that she knew the word transgender. I don't know that, like, she knew that there was a fix or a bettering for me, you know? I don't think that she knew that that existed. And so we look at these kids now. Like, I know two, you know, trans girls who have transitioned at, like, 6 and are beautiful, amazing, wonderful little girls who are living their very best life and don't even know that it is a privilege to be living it. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, it's so interesting. Like,
and thank God.
Yeah, really. I mean, they're lucky to have that. And the funny thing is, just so everyone that's listening, Nick lives in Canada. There's a misconception. Canada obviously does, in my opinion, on the outside looking in, has does lend itself to being a little more forward-thinking.
Absolutely.
Because it just is.
We're just a little more liberal, I think. And even our, you know, up until recently, I would say that people who are conservatives and true, like, old-fashioned conservatives here in this country believe that it's about smaller government. It's about government not being involved in your crap so much. So they, even those conservatives are like, actually, I don't believe... It's about being fiscally conservative, not being socially conservative. It's only this new wave of conservatives I find here in Canada that are really, really, really about also controlling people's rights as well. And that's a new thing, and I think it's trickling up.
What are transgender rights like in Canada? Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm not naive enough to think that, like, it's perfect here because it's not, or that there isn't bigotry here because there is. But our rights are, you know, our rights are federally protected currently. That may change when our prime minister changes, but currently we have a liberal prime minister. Our rights are, like, you know, to discriminate against a transgender person is a hate crime. Like, our rights are pretty all covered all right here. We're not having trans women murdered in the streets. I'm never afraid for my safety.
Good.
Which is a good thing. I come with a lot of privilege. I am a white, cis-passing man, but I choose to be out often, and, you know, I'm not afraid for my safety often.
Do you, I mean, you clearly, the survey knows, you, Nick, talks about being trans often. Some people choose to, there is a group of people that choose to, what's it called, I'm sorry, when they don't talk about being trans.
They're stealth.
So, but you choose to, like, yours. I mean, I even have your website up in front of me right now, and it's fantastic to watch. Literally the transformation, because you are a photographer, correct?
I used to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And just the process in which everyone goes through, specifically, if you don't mind me talking about says I find Jesus when you're about a teenager.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I get it. So if it's what I think it is.
I was really looking for something to just make me better. And I think I didn't really have a good family system. I grew up, you know, in a little bit of a strange circumstance. And so I was looking for family. I was looking for acceptance. I was looking to just be made better. You know, it was like I could pray away the gay and I could pray away being broken and wrong, and like if God could just fix me, and if I could have this family that loved me, everything would be okay. And if, like, I could just find the rules and fix into it and fit into those rules and those boxes and play the game, then everything would be safe. And it was sort of, it's just that, you know, it kept me out of a lot of, I think everyone goes through something. I didn't do the whole drug and alcohol thing because I went to church instead, and I think I was just turning off my feelings with one substance rather than the other.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, I get
that.
If that
makes sense.
No, it does, because that's just, you don't have to, like, I think people get confused. You don't have to turn to drugs, to alcohol, or whatever it is, overeating, or anything like that. There are other ways to, like, mask your feelings. And it can be through church.
Pain.
I know it sounds, it can sound contradictory when you're talking about the church, but if we go down the church history, it's not, because they're really good at repressing unknowingly.
That's the whole
sometimes.
Thing.
Right, exactly. Like, you say these words, you follow these rules, and then you'll be okay. Just don't deal with the actual real you. Forward.
Right, and everything will be all right.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I am just, you're the first person I've met, the first human being that I've met that, in the process of all I've done with my work, that is so, I know there are other people that are candid about it, but, like, you're very candid about it. Like, you show everybody. You don't hide who you, that's why I was so intrigued by you, because you don't hide your life before. You're not a jerk about it. You might have been at one point, but according to what I see just through the internet, you know, we can be jerks to ourselves before anything. And, you know what I mean? Because that's all it is in life. If we're being really mean about things and saying mean things about people constantly, then obviously there's something we have to look deeper inside of ourselves. But you're very, like, candid about it, and I just appreciate that because, speaking of that, so what other work do you do now with, tell everybody, like, what you do in the design of your life with all the kids and your pup and your wife. What is it exactly that you do to make a difference and impact on your community and the community at large and the world and so forth?
It's a little bit of a clusterfuck right now, for being honest. I think we're in that spot, right? Like, we're just going to be honest about it, like I am with everything else. I think for me, I know that when I was looking at transitioning, my biggest fear was, like, who could I grow up into being? And, like, I was already 30 years old, and who could I grow up, 31, who could I grow up into being felt like this really big, like, well, what will happen? Will I have to be just a Walmart greeter for the rest of my life? Because if I look at, like, the stories of trans people online, it seemed as though it was stories of teenagers, or it was stories of grown-ups who still lived in their parents' basement and stocked shelves at Walmart. And there's nothing wrong with that, except for that's not the whole story. That can't be the whole narrative of a whole group of people. It's too simplified. You know, if we look at the narrative of trans people, we see the stories we see in the media are trans women being murdered on CSI. We see, you know, ourselves being bullied or being freaks or being weird in movies. Or we see them, like, on the news, we see us as marginalized people, you know? And we are those people, but we also are big and beautiful and bright and brilliant. And we're Thomas McBee, who writes for the New York Times, and we're Jake Graff, who writes for Netflix. And we are all these other people, you know, we're Laverne Cox, and we're, like, all these great, awesome people, and Nathan Dowling and Teek Milan, who are parents and just regular people. We're not just these marginalized people who don't have a future. And I found my biggest thing that I found, like, you know, 4 years ago when I was Googling and Googling and Googling, I was like, no one will love you. You'll probably lose your partner. Your children will be tormented or not love you. And
what were you Googling?
Like, it'd be really hard. Like life as a trans, like coming out as trans. And when you go to Google, you only see the extremes, right? And so you see, and the other thing was that, like, I could find Aiden Dowling, but he was making his living being a trans person. And so how, as someone who runs a business, who has children to provide for, who has a partner, how do you, like, would I lose my business? Would people, like, not want to work with me anymore? And the truth was, is that I transitioned. And the week that I transitioned, a speaking gig that I was up for, they said that it wasn't a good fit anymore. You know? And, like, that did happen. I understand it. It was they weren't a Christian organization, but it was happening in Utah. It was mostly white Mormon women, but that were coming, and they were like, I just don't know that it's going to be a good fit. And I totally get it, but it still sucked, you know? And so I think that for me, it was just like I needed to show a different way of being. I needed to show that, like, although being trans is not perfect, like, there's no spot of me that's like, oh, my life is peachy and wonderful, and I wish I wasn't, I 100% wish I wasn't cis. That's not true. I wish 100% that I didn't need surgery to make my body look the way that it feels in my heart and soul. I wish 1,012 things were different about the way life is, but it doesn't mean that my life is terrible. Does that make sense? You know, and I think that everyone wants us to feel like our life has to be terrible or awesome, and there's no space for the messy middle. But the truth is like, everyone's life is that messy middle spot. And
right.
So that's sort of what I'm doing right now, is talking about the messy middle and spending a lot of time talking to other trans folks and kids who are trying to find their way. And then I'm trying really hard to continue to support my family off of business coaching and brand strategy and things like that. And so it's this dichotomy of, like, how do you balance all this free stuff that you're giving away because it's the right thing to do? And, you know, lots of people are like, well, you should just charge people to talk to you about transitioning. And I was like, I can't, like, who could possibly do that? There's no part of me that's going to charge an hourly fee to talk to some 15-year-old kid's mom who's terrified.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't do that. So it's this messy in-between of, like, of sort of trying to create a living and, you know, earn a living for our family and also do work that really, really matters to me. And I can't not answer that kid's mom either, you know?
Right. You know, you could charge the doctors that need to be educated on it. That's who you could charge.
That's exactly who I can charge. So, yeah, exactly. So we're working on stuff like that. We're working on, you know, partnering with brands that are wanting to change their company culture. We're not interested in partnering with brands that just want an Instagram post. We're interested in partnering with brands that are like, we want your Instagram post, and then we want you to come in and make sure that we don't make the wrong Instagram post in the future. And we want to make sure that our company is inclusive, not just on the surface, but where we're giving our, you know, our donations to, and what we are holding our staff to, and what our hiring and training procedures are. Like, those are I want to start making a difference there, and letting that work help pay for the work with the kids and the actual people who are struggling.
Yeah, I mean,
and then we have a documentary that's coming out. Yeah,
I saw that. That's so cool. We're going to plug
the
all
next
that
big thing
for you.
Is the doc.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love it. Let me, so do you and your wife work together? Is that what the business is, both of yours, or it's separate?
Separate. So she's a life coach. She works mostly with women she works with, like, super successful, like, lawyers, doctors, really, like, the people at the top of the ladder who are then, they're like, but I'm supposed to have all my ish together, and I don't. And it's really lonely at the top, and I don't have anyone to talk to.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're like human rights lawyers who are like, I literally can't talk about any of my cases with anyone, and I'm lonely and dying inside. And so she works with those types of awesome people.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, the work you're doing, right? So you set up these companies, and they become successful in their language for advertising because, you know, often what happens is everyone's so excited about Pride Month, and then when Pride Month is done, everything goes away. And you're like, well,
it goes
can't
away
be for a month, everybody. Like, can't be for a month. It has to be always. It has to be in your human resources guidebook. It has to all be there, whether you like it or not, because we're human beings and we all work together. And just get over yourselves and work with us instead of against us. And there's a trickle effect. If it's there already, it'll trickle down. And then I think people actually do forget about that piece of the puzzle. If you set up a company, specifically a company, successfully inside of language, because language is so important, we know that. It runs the world.
Yeah.
And so if you set up, you know, successfully in language in the company, written down on paper, and the person sees that when in the hiring process and they don't like that, then they can move on and go to the next company. And that's it. Like, and then if you work for that company, you can bring that same idea or same, you know, like, just really being careful of how you approach things and say things and, like, really be mindful of who's there. That'll run off into your home life. That'll run off into your friend's life. Like, it all just trickles down And then all of a sudden, we're all just working together, and we don't even know it. I mean, straight people have been doing it for years. I mean, you know what I mean? Decades. A whole lot. I'm like,
right? They have, you know, the like, straight agenda is strong, yo.
It's strong. It's there. Like, and everyone's used to it, and that's totally cool. But it's, and I believe it's our job and our my life's work anyways, and I know it's your life's work, to make that. It's not even like stepping to the left so far. It's just like, hello. I'm like, we're here. Like, I don't know why you think we're going to go anywhere else unless you have another Earth that we can all go to and keep, leave all you here to suffer.
Like,
and
you, we'll go somewhere. Y'all can stay here. It's fine. It'll be fabulous.
It's yeah.
So good, right?
You can have your straight pride, but we're going to go and we'll go to the other place. But we're not. We're all in, there's only one Earth currently that we know of, and we're staying here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's great that what you're doing. And I just, I love that. Like, it's so cool. What's it? So, what is it like to manage five kids?
It's hard. Just let me just say that, just think about shoes. How many pairs of shoes do you have, friend? At least five, right? Because you have different uses for them. You've got, like
probably
you've got sandals.
That,
but I'm just saying, at a minimum, you've got sandals. You've got running shoes. You've got, like, a fashion shoe. And then you've got,
like a
walking shoe. Like a boot or something. Yeah, and then you've got winter boots. Ugh. So just think that I, at any given point, have 25 pairs of kids' shoes just floating around. That's 50 shoes at any given point just floating around. Just that's when people are like, what's it like? I'm like, just think of the shoes. It's the, it's not the big things like the college and the whatever, because they can, you know, they'll be fine. They can pay for that themselves. But the shoes.
Yeah.
It's the shoes.
The shoes. I've never actually heard anyone say that. Shoes and, well, groceries, yeah. I mean, I can only imagine. We only had four kids. We had four kids growing up with me. And, like, the amount of milk that we went through in, like, just a couple of days is, like, insane. So
we sometimes like to try and make a Venn diagram of what our kids will all eat. And if you, there's, like, the three things in the middle are, like, macaroni and cheese, pizza, and, I don't even can't even think of, like, shepherd's pie. All of them will eat that. It's like this weird, like,
so weird.
Yeah.
Of all the things.
It's like, I'm like, all right, okay.
I didn't think anyone else ate shepherd's pie. That's hilarious. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I grew up eating
love
that.
It. I also
tomato,
like it.
Potatoes and meat, right? Right?
Potato, yeah, and like meat. Some peas in there, yeah.
Uh-huh. And they just bake it in the oven and they pull it. Yeah, I grew up on that stuff.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
I didn't think anyone
too.
Else ate that.
Well, we still eat it up here in Canada, in Alberta, in rural Alberta. My kids love it. They're like, yes, shepherd's pie.
So cool.
But, like,
and I've never had it since
things.
I left my house. Yeah.
Look, you come visit, I'll make it for you.
Do you mind making it a vegetarian version?
I can do that. There's a lot of vegetarian crumble.
Great. There is actually a lot of vegetarian crumble, especially they have a new, anyway, it's not going to, but yeah, so that's cool. I think, and then so, with your kids, just put me in the timeline of you transitioning, your kids,
so
like your younger,
four of them.
Right, you had four of them, and they knew you as mommy first.
Yep, the oldest was, so I had four, the youngest was 4 months old when I left my husband for my wife. Which is complicated. She's an American. It was long distance. It was messy. She had a child from a previous relationship who is our oldest kid now, and she's 13. When I transitioned, she was 10. So we had a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so for the 1- and 2-year-old, they don't remember me as anything other than dad.
Okay.
For the older kids, I am, you know, my 9-year-old son in the beginning would be like, you know, my dad, you know, the one that used to be my mom, but now he's my dad, but he used to be my mom, but because he birthed me. But, you know, those guys can birth babies if they're trans. And, like, he would, like, that's if he would start any conversation with, like, you're
all
like,
right. They're like,
not everyone deserves all of your story, but it's yours to tell, big guy, which is part of the reason why I choose very open, to be very, very open, is that my kids knew me as their mom. They were not. They were 10, 8, and 7, the oldest ones, when I transitioned.
Okay.
And I didn't want them to feel like there was anything other than celebration to me transitioning. It wasn't about it being a shameful secret. It wasn't about it being this thing we don't talk about. It wasn't about this about me being their mom being a part of my life that I wanted to erase. Because for me, I can't erase. I struggle with the fact of, like, do I wish that I wasn't trans? Absolutely. Do I want to erase any part of my previous life? No. Am I grateful for my experiences? Yes. If I could just snap my fingers and have a dick, I would be like, great, being trans is awesome for me. It was painful, but it taught me a lot of really wonderful things about the world, and it allows me to really, really, really see the world from both sides of the gender coin and everywhere in between. I feel like I have a better understanding of humanity as a whole because I know what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom who makes no money and what it's like to be the sole earner. Like, I think that I can get all these different sides of the world different. So I really, really struggled with, like, I also didn't want to be an advocate in the beginning. I didn't want to be this person who, like, my transness made me special or different. I just wanted to be a guy like everyone else. And so I struggled with this, like, how do you hold the balance of those two things? And I decided that having my experience erased as my kid's birth parent was not something that I was interested in. And so I choose to be really, really out. And making them hide who their parent is not something that I'm interested in. So I choose to be really, really out. I have a lot of privilege to be able to do that safely. And it doesn't mean that it's the right choice for everyone. It just is the right choice for me. But, yeah, it was like we were standing around the kitchen island making pizza and just sort of being like, you know how mom doesn't really like things that all the other moms you know usually like? You know how mom likes things that most of the other dads you know like? You know how mom feels, because mom feels more like this rather than this, and just sort of explained, and they were like, okay, cool, great, so what do we call you? And we were just like, well, what do you want to call me? And we said, like, you can keep calling me mom for as long as you want. You might notice that might feel weird eventually, that other people will see me as a guy, and I am a guy, and so therefore it might come across a little weird, but it's still yours. Like, I'm still your mom. I'll always, for them, I couldn't take that away from them. It wasn't about taking it from them. It was about letting them give it over as they wanted to. And I think that is what, like, they don't have any feelings of loss because they didn't lose anything.
Right. Right. That's so beautiful. Oh my God. I love it. I could hear it. I can listen to that story 101 times. And it's funny when you approach kids and they're like, all right, cool, what do you want to call you? You're like, right, I probably made it more of a thing. Not a thing.
Yeah, I 100% made it more of a thing. I had a therapist involved.
Of course,
because
we're adults.
Like,
yeah.
It was like a 3-month planning process. Like, it was so
right,
a thing for
right,
me.
Right, right, right. Of course, of course.
And they were like, yeah, whatever, Dad, can I eat the pepperoni now? And I was like, all right, cool.
Right.
That was it.
And not for nothing. I want to say, like, the benefit of just having that conversation is so detrimental to just their well-being in the world as a whole. Like, they get to now see, because they're growing up in such an open environment and an open household, they get to see now, like, when it's not, because it won't be sometimes. And they'll run up against that when they're older, or they could run up against it now, and how to really deal with that quicker than most, because a lot of the times when you're in a quote-unquote mom-dad situation from birth, and those parents have grown up believing an idea of that this is the only way it can be, and there's no other way. You're born this way, and that's it, end of story. A lot of times, unless the kids really decide to go to the far left, and they're like, I can't stand my parents, they're crazy, they're conservative, they're nuts. Other than that, those kids have a harder time accepting things that are different, whereas as not for anything, those kids, your kids, and I know lots of, you know, mom and mom, dad and dads, and those kids are, I don't care what anybody says, they got a one-up because they've at least experienced it from a young age where they're like, oh, and they get to keep that going because oftentimes, we know when we get as an adult, like you just said, you spend 3 months planning what you're going to say to your kids, and then they're like, just matter of fact, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's,
that's not, it's
whatever.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then that's a great idea. Go ahead.
I think it does a lot of the same things that kids that travel a lot when they're younger do. Like, kids that live in different countries and, like, that are a little more seeing the world more. It does that thing that lets them go, oh, the way that the things that I see day in and day out aren't necessarily the only way of doing things. It breaks up this rigidity that's in people. And I don't think it affects, like you said, I don't think it's just about sexuality or gender or any of those things. I think it's about religion and class and socioeconomic status and jobs and like our kids, you know, the other day we had a kid that, you know, there was like we had a bunch of kids over and someone was talking about what their parents did. And we live in a pretty, it's like a white upper middle class suburban rural area. It's a strange place. And so most of the kids' parents work in oil and gas. Moms are stay-at-home moms. The dads work away. They make a butt ton of money. And then there's, like, the regular people as well. And so one of the regular kids was like, oh, my mom only does this. And she was, like, embarrassed about what her mom did for a living. And my kids were like, that sounds really cool. I mean, like, everyone else's parents have to do, they're all doing these boring things where they have to go away, but like, that sounds like a really fun job and like really important. And it was just this spot where my kids could see that like, oh, this was this different thing that this person felt embarrassed of and they celebrated it instead. And it wasn't like because they felt bad for her. It was because they truly could celebrate this difference in this person who wasn't like everyone else that was around them. And I know that that's this silly little, like, not very big global life-changing thing, but I do think that it all adds up.
It 100% has the strongest effect on a human being to, like, how they, when they get older. Because when you get older, you start to have a bunch of stories and baggage and all that stuff because things happen to you. Your heart gets broken. Someone said something really nasty to you, and you now have to protect yourself as a human being, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But to obviously gravitate towards no judgment and being like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, tell me all about it. And you're like, yes, that's exactly how simple it should be. Because truthfully, nobody's business is, but like, I don't need to know someone else's business and how they got there unless they decide to tell me their story and then we'll have a conversation. Yeah. But like their business is not my concern. You know, I just tell everybody, like, just don't be mean to people. If you're going to be mean to somebody, you're going to get a twofold back. Like, that's just all there is to it. You bring what you keep. What is it? You know, you give off what you get back. And that's it. And for the kids to be like, oh, it's cool. Like, I love it. Like, but simply just because they do love it. They genuinely, authentically, like, love having that conversation. I think that's great. Like, I wish there was, like, there are a lot of people like you guys in the world and all of us, but I wish everybody was like this. But they're not, so got to keep doing the work.
But we're getting there.
We are getting there,
I do think that as much as it's, like, pretty bleak out there and we're like, oh, Trump's everywhere and it's terrible and all these awful things are happening, I look at my kids' generation and, like, my 13-year-old, her friends are coming out as pansexual in the 7th grade. And, like, it's so lame to just be straight. Jeez. Like, you know, statistics, we look at Gen Z and they're right now that only 61% of them identify as heterosexual. 61%.
Yeah. And people are like, why the surgeons? I go, why not? Because it was so repressed for so long. That's why people are actually feeling comfortable to be like, and they see social media and they see like inspiration. There's shows like Pose, there's Drag Race. There's all these things that are like, oh no, that's totally, I can see me in that. Like, that's totally who I am. I knew there was something. I knew there was something. And now I can identify and
guess
like,
what?
Be Fred.
61% of the people that were currently walking around not in part of Generation Z are secretly repressed, not just straight also. You know, it's
100%.
Just that they've been socialized and they happen to fall in love with someone that matches the opposite gender, or maybe they didn't, and they're still married to them or whatever, they're in relationships,
whatever,
that's what they think they're supposed to be, because it's literally like they're being indoctrinated. The other day, a woman said to me, She's like, I just don't, I had this fight with my son because he was like, I don't know, Mom, with all this gay pride stuff around, it's like everyone's trying to make me gay. And I was like, you look at him and tell him that is literally what every gay person says every second of their whole life about being straight. That is, everyone is trying to make them straight from the moment they're born. And so welcome to a tiny fraction of what it is like to be a queer person in a straight world. That's what you tell your kid. You know,
the teeniest, tiny fraction.
Blown away. The teeniest, yeah. Tiniest bit. No one's threatening their safety. No one's threatening their livelihood. They're just asking them to put some rainbows up at school.
Exactly. And no one's
That's
saying,
it.
You have to be gay. Nope, just looking at
exactly.
a rainbow. That's all it is.
No one's saying you're going to hell if you're not gay. No one's doing any of that bullshit. It's just, this is the one, you know, take a tiny little look at what it feels like to be queer. Just for a second. Like a slice of what it could feel like to grow up queer.
Right.
That's what it's like to be, you know, in the middle of a gay pride parade.
Exactly. That's one of the points and one of the conversations, and not an argument, just a fact. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
You can't say that. When you're going, oh my gosh, there's so much gay things on TV, why is this? And I go, there's really not. But there is more than there used to be. And there's definitely more, like I said, shows like Pose and Drag Race, and definitely more sitcoms have gay guys and gay girls and all these people, trans and like all that. Like, definitely has it, but nope. Like, you had a conversation when we talked before about like showing up in the media and like how it's so portrayed, specifically in the trans community. Like, no. Like, if you go through pop culture, not up until, I would say, I mean, really, there's nothing
on television.
Orange is the
New Black.
Yeah, like
that's the first one.
And exactly. But we still don't have a place where it's just them living their lives. Like, and we have to get there. Like, it's not the storyline. It's just part of this, like, who they are, and that's they're trans.
Mm-hmm.
But like, same thing with gay characters, and like, there's only a few. I think there's only a handful of shows where like, this is my mom and my mom. And that's it. There's not a conversation about coming out or like, this is weird, or like, I can't be friends with you. It's just part of life and moving forward, and we're doing this together. But we're getting there, I think. And
maybe the closest is the Fosters. It's still it's a story about foster care, and it just happens to have a bunch of queer people in it. It's not a very... Like, it's on NBC or something like that. It's on the main network. It did well, but it's not, like, super-duper popular. But I think that might be the closest.
I think Schitt's Creek...
And look,
Schitt's Creek, actually, your Canadian show that came to the net blown up. It's not about... It's actually he's fluid. Like, there's no one... There's nothing talked about. If he likes the girl, he likes the girl. Like, boy, likes the boy. It's not, like...
Yeah.
There's not even like the mention of gay. He did that on purpose. Like, he's like, nope. I mean, even though I'm in a small town, it's just part of it. And you know, the part of you sits there and go waiting for something bad to happen. It's horrible to say, but we're so used to seeing something bad happen with a person who's out and comfortable with themselves on television, but nothing bad happens. It just is what it is.
But I think we're waiting not only because we're so used to it happening on television, but we're so used to it happening in real life. Like,
yeah.
We all had this, even when I was just a nice lesbian lady, I still had the, like, I would say, actually, it was more dangerous for me as a lesbian than it is for me as a trans person in Canada. I think that more dudes drunkenly are like, are you guys going to make out? Come on. Like, I think it's more that than just being trans. For me, there's more like unwanted comments from, but I think that's just the sexism of like the patriarchy and wanting to objectify even lesbians for their pleasure. So, you know, I think it probably was more that way when I was presenting as female. You know, the times I've been kicked out of bathrooms, I have been strip searched at the Portland airport because I was wearing a prosthetic and they thought it was holding explosives. And I was like, really, you're going to explosive test my silicone dick? All right, wicked. Here we go. Like, these are real, live things, traumatic, wow, terrible, awful, no good things that happen in a place like Portland, you know? Like, and if it can happen in Portland, right, where the hell else can it happen? So
yeah,
we're waiting for bad things to happen because bad things are still happening.
Yeah.
You know, the other day someone said to me and their wife, they were like, well, Morgan, you don't need to, like, be all advocate-y. Like, the queers are good now. Like, look, they've got their pride. They've, like, you guys don't. Isn't it condescending having everyone try and help you all the time? And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like,
whoa,
there were 5 trans women murdered in America in Pride Month alone.
Pride Month alone. Just in Pride Month alone.
In Pride Month alone.
17 in the past few months. Yeah.
Yeah. In Pride Month
color
alone.
And it's like,
there are,
yeah,
5 trans women of color.
Yeah.
In America. Yeah. Just 1 month. Just on Pride Month. Just, let's just,
I mean,
we don't even need to look at the global issue. If we're just saying,
no,
like, on fucking Pride Month.
Right.
We have not,
well, no,
hit our rights.
Some guy just got arrested. Yeah, some guy just got arrested burning the rainbow flag at a gay club in Harlem. So it's like,
right?
People,
like,
have said that to me. Like, to me, or I've heard that said, and I'm like, no. I can't even have an argument.
Yeah, and,
I mean, like, I could just, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy.
And I think it is crazy. I think that for a lot of us, you know, folks who are white and straight passing and, like, hetero passing or choosing to be or whatever you want to do, I think that it's easy to realize, to sort of not notice how much of the ugliness is still out there for people who don't have those privileges. And
yeah,
I think that until we bring our trans
that
women of color and our, you know, all of these other people who are still hurting and are being murdered and are being bullied and harassed and all of the things that are happening to queer people all over the world, until we bring all of them with us, we're not actually free, you know?
No.
And I think that,
I mean,
sometimes
that's
us,
that's it,
nice white folks can forget that.
Yep, they certainly can. I mean, listen, I'd be working in India, and I can take India, and I can take America, and of course, they're, like, far ends of the spectrum, but
mm-hmm.
what happens there, like, even mentioning lesbians, like, lesbian is not a thing there. Gay men are,
no,
becoming a thing, but hijra
mm-hmm.
are the thing that they see, the third sex. Not transgendered, hijra, and then transgendered, and then gay men, and then lesbian, and then the rest of it, because that's just,
mm-hmm.
so they're so, like, still 1968, whatever, 1969, like, their prides are still small. They have an actual mark. They don't have floats. Like, so until all of that can be on the same playing field, which, of course, I would love it, but the reality of it probably never will be because of the way people educate people inside of the home life.
Yeah.
No. We're never gonna,
it's still life in jail in Jamaica if you are caught having gay sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, life
and
in prison.
I'm speaking to people from Jamaica, and, like, they have LGBT centers, and they have queer rights. They don't even use certain words because they know it'll trigger people. They call things differently, so they can't even be completely, truly themselves because the words are different. The language is even different, you know, so.
Yeah.
Because of fear. And, so, yeah, the work still needs to be the work. And the work you're doing, I think, is fantastic. Your family is awesome. Hopefully we get to meet someday in our lives. And
yeah.
So just let everybody know. It's the fun part. Let everybody know where they can find you. And then talk about your documentary a little bit. And plug away.
Yeah, so we are, you know, I'm on Instagram at EpicDanger, EpicDanger. And you can find me at nicknorth.co online, blogging and things like that. And that's probably where we will launch the documentary as well. So we won a $50,000 grant in September to make a 20-minute short documentary about our family. And we didn't do the, like, very intense surgery documentary that is made or the, like, coming out documentary that's made. We made one called Just Another Beautiful Family, and it does actually cover a little bit of my top surgery in it, but it's more about how our family is just like every other family. Every single family has something that makes them different. It might be a disabled parent or same-sex parents or adoptive parents or a family that has a sick kid in it or whatever it is. Like, every family has something that makes them different. Every family has something that makes them feel like, oh, I don't know, but I like this makes me weird. But those are the things that actually make us the most beautiful. And so we sort of just made a documentary on our just normal, everyday, beautiful family. And hoping that, A, that people out there can see that, like, we're not really that scary as trans folks. We're just like them. We love our kids the exact same. We do laundry the same way. We've, you know, have all the same bedtime routines that they have. We're not so scary. And it also shows, you know, trans kids and their parents, like, what's possible for them, that you can and will be loved. You know, when I talk to trans people and their parents, their first thing is like, will anyone love my kid? I just want to know that, like, they'll get married one day and have a partner and, like, have a family of their own. That's their big concern. And the answer is absolutely. Like, your kid is, do you love your kid? Then your kid's lovable, obviously. Like, they will be loved. They can have a good, wonderful, full life. And this is just this way to show them that, like, your kid can be okay, and show the kids you can be okay. You can grow up and have everything that you ever wanted, whether you're straight, whether you're trans, whether you're gay, whether whatever, who you are. And so it's just 20 minutes of that. So that, we don't quite know when it will come out yet, because we're doing film work in the process of applying for film festivals. And it turns out that these film festivals are elite and they don't want to be shown anywhere else, like other places. So
yeah,
as soon as we know where it will come out, we will blast it out to the world. But probably sometime near the end of the summer or the fall.
What's the name of it?
Just Another Beautiful Family.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Everybody go find all of those things on the social medias. And that's right. The message basically inside of what we had a discussion with today is, we're just being humans, and we're just trying to live our lives and be together, and it's a beautiful thing, everyone, and I know my listeners are all into that, but for those of you that happen to stumble upon Queer Teen Podcast that doesn't know what this is and you start to listen to it, it just comes from a place of love and education and just having conversations with each other just to find out who the person is first, and then you can, you know, hopefully not pass judgment, but you might, and if you do, Godspeed. So thank you so much, Nick. Yep. I appreciate it.
And thanks for listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.